This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, you chose to be our mother in all things, and so made the foundation of your work most humbly and most pure in the Virgin's womb. God, the perfect wisdom of all, arrayed yourself in this humble place. Christ came in our poor flesh to share a mother's care. Our mothers bear us for pain and for death. You, our true mother, Jesus, bears us for joy and endless life. Christ, you carried us within yourself in love and travail until the full time of your passion. And when all was completed and you had carried us so for joy, still all this could not satisfy the power of your wonderful love. All that we owe is redeemed in truly loving you, for the love of Christ works in us. Christ is the one whom we love. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. People never know what to say back to me. And also with your mother. But I'll take and also with you. Because there is a lot about being on the Christian journey that has to do not just with fatherhood, but as that prayer expressed, with motherhood as well. Those words that I just read are a paraphrase of a canticle written by St. Julian of Norwich, whose feast day we celebrated this past week. Julian was quite a character. She, in her early years of her life, was stricken with a life-threatening disease, and as she was praying in the midst of that sickness, had visions where she had visions of God and of Jesus. And she realized in her life that her calling was to life as somewhat of a hermit, an anchoress, as they called her. And she set up a little room to the side of a church that had a window that looked out on the altar so she could see the Eucharist being celebrated, and a window that looked out upon the world. And she spent years there. And as she spent those years, she wrote about her experiences of the visions. It's called Revelations of Divine Love. Now for me, if someone had visions, and someone dedicated years of their life to writing about them in that way, it's probably something I want to pay attention to. It's important. And as you heard those words, one of the revelations to her was not only about how God is Father, but how God is also Mother, and not how only Jesus is our brother and good shepherd, but even as our good shepherd, loves us with a motherly love as well. Good shepherd. We are going to sing about four different versions of that psalm by the time we're out of here today. It's an incredible psalm. Dallas Willard, you know, he was one of my professors. We did a small group series with him. Many of you did it, The Divine Conspiracy, where 100 of us worked through that book and had the DVD series where he speaks. Philosopher, theologian, guru, looked upon by many in the Christian world as one of the brightest minds of the 21st century. Well, he died this past year. But before he died, he got together with all the students at the university where he was teaching, and they were allowed to ask him any question they wanted. And the first question they asked, the students stood up and said, "Dallas, I have taken every course that you have taught in the past 4 years, but I have never heard you talk about your own spiritual life, your own spiritual practice. What do you do on an ordinary day?" And without batting an eye, his response started with, "Well, first of all, there is no ordinary day, which I think is good for us to start with. But then he said, I do this. I pray through the phrases of the 23rd Psalm, word by word, every morning. And he said, because doing that, I have nothing to fear. It is an incredible psalm. It gives us such incredible good news that we have a good shepherd. One theologian calls it a beautiful shepherd, different kind of translation. But that God is my shepherd. When you think about all the people we'd want to have our backs and looking out for us, God is doing that for us. The best way I get in touch with this is going back to an experience that I have shared with some of you from my corporate days at that place called Motorola. I had been asked by the CEO's organization to head up a group of people to form the Customer Satisfaction Council. It was our job to make sure that everything that all the companies within Motorola was doing was focused on the customer. So we were asked to go to this big meeting in Arizona, and all, as I call them, the mucky mucks were there. And they were going to present to us about this project that they had called Iridium. Motorola spent $18 billion on a system of satellites that went all around the Earth's atmosphere. And the idea was they were going to create this phone system that you could go anywhere in the world and you could have coverage for your Iridium phone. Now, the problem was they talk about, first of all, $18 billion, and then they pull out the phone. And the phone, remember those World War II movies where they had the big old walkie-talkies? That was the size of the phone. And they said, oh, and it's going to cost $3,000 for the phone. And oh, by the way, the airtime's going to cost $10 to $20 a minute. And besides that, then they want to use the phone, and if you're standing where I am, it doesn't work. You have to take it over by a window so you can be within line of sight of a satellite for the thing to work. And we're the Customer Satisfaction Council. And so here I am. They're all looking at me. I'm the designated chairperson for this group, and I raise my hand, and I said, these are all engineers I'm addressing. And I said, did you guys and gals talk to any potential customers about this? People who you think are going to buy this thing? And I was summarily dismissed. Customers? Why do we have to talk about customers? This is incredible technology. And we left the room. The only time in my life that I wrote a personal memo to the CEO of the company, telling him what we thought of what was going on. And to this day, you better watch it at night, because there are $18 billion worth of satellites floating out there in space that are gradually coming back to the Earth's atmosphere, hopefully disintegrating before they get here. $18 billion. Now you ask, what on earth does that have to do with Psalm 23, Father Marty? It taught me this. In my life of prayer at that time, God hit me over the head and said to me, you do not have to worry about following any crazy idea that I give to you to follow, because no matter what it is that you do, there is no possible way that you are going to make an $18 billion mistake. Think about it. And all of those mucky muckies went on with their life. And here we are. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Jesus tells us in this section of John's Gospel that he's the shepherd, that he's the gatekeeper, and that he's the gate. What more could we ask for? When you think about that image of the gate and the gatekeeper, this is a great Mother's Day theme. See if you resonate with this phrase. Over my dead body. How many times did I hear that growing up? You think you're going to church wearing that? Over my dead body. Mom, some of the guys are going to go out and we're going to spend the whole night out, but we'll be home by 4 a.m. and we're 13 years old. Over my dead body. Well, that's literally what the gatekeeper, the gate, did. They would sprawl themselves out over that enclosure where the sheep were to keep out the marauders, the interlopers, the thieves, the wolves, everything that was bad, to protect the sheep that were therein. And you'd have to do it over their dead body to get to the sheep. Jesus is that gatekeeper, that gate. What more do we need? Now, what's important about that image is that it's two-sided, and we sometimes forget that. You know, in that enclosure, there would be sheep, as Jesus talked about in the gospel today, and different shepherds would come to retrieve their sheep. They would call their sheep, the sheep would know them by name, know his voice, and they would respond, and then he would lead his sheep out. But the gatekeeper, remember, had a twofold purpose here. He would keep those sheep in at night to protect them and to guard them. But equally important to the lives and the well-being of those sheep was that when the shepherd came to take the sheep out. Because if they just stayed in that pasture and in that enclosure, they're going to die. There's not that much grass in that little enclosure. There's not much sustenance in that little enclosure. There's not water in that enclosure enough to sustain them. So the shepherd leads them out to green pastures and fresh water. Now, this is an important image for us, I think. A lot of times, I can get in this little enclosure, and man, doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel great? And Jesus is there, and he's got my back, and I'm all protected right here in my cozy little enclosure. But if I just stay there, I'm going to die. Jesus doesn't let us stay there. We have to go out, and we have to be led out by the shepherd for the refreshment, for the challenge, for the spiritual exercise and everything that goes with it that enables us to be charged up and energized once again. It's a two-sided thing with this gate that we need to be open to both sides. And so we gather here in our little enclosure every Sunday, and that is really important. That is so important that we are here to encourage each other and to get charged up, and to get refreshed here in the enclosure. But if we don't go out, if we're not going out from here, and letting the shepherd continue to lead us the other 6 days of the week, there ain't much that we're going to be able to come back to. You know, St. Francis, he had a great philosophy with his monks. If you ever go to Assisi, you can go up to this beautiful place on the top of Mount Subasio. He's got this beautiful monastery up there. And this is where he'd talk to the birds. And this is where they'd look at the sky. And the monks would be there for 6 months. But at the end of 6 months, you're going to switch out with the other monks. And you're going to go out into the city now. And now, what you experienced up on the top of the mountain, now you go out and you share it and you live it with God's people. Think of what's going on in the reading from Acts today. Those who were baptized were faithful to the prayers, the breaking of the bread, the apostles' fellowship. They did all that, what they needed to do in the enclosure, but then they went out and did the work that God had given them to do. Think of short-term mission trips, if you've ever done that here or with another church. You go out and you work your tail off all day long, whether it's painting or a vacation church camp or whatever the project is. And then you come back at night and you sit around that circle and you process and you share and you support each other on the journey of what's going on. You can't have one without the other. So what an incredible, incredible image Jesus gives us. I'm the gate. I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the one who's going to protect you in the enclosure every day of your life. So you're not going to make an $18 billion mistake, so get on with it. But then we have a shepherd who leads us out. Sometimes in uncomfortable territories, but leads us to cool waters and green pastures, and enables us to do what we're called to do. I don't think it's a coincidence that Julian of Norwich is most remembered for a different statement. But I think it goes back to this idea of Jesus as our shepherd, Jesus as mother, because she's remembered that when everything else and everything else is considered, all shall be well. All things shall be well. All matter of things shall be well. 30 years of visions, and that sums it all up. On this Mother's Day, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, may it be that way for us, both in the enclosure with a God who's got our back, and outside, as he leads us forth to green pastures. Amen.